The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. But when the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw out some now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then when the people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, first, a quick history lesson, and then we'll talk about the Gospel, okay? Up until 1955, Christmas season ended on the Feast of Epiphany, which was always held on January 6th. And Epiphany, of course, we all know means the manifestation, right? The revealing. Christ is revealed to the world. And it celebrated actually 3 different acts, 3 different times in which Jesus revealed himself to the world. And the first was, of course, the coming of the Magi, which we still celebrate on Epiphany. The second was his baptism by John in the River Jordan, which God speaks, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the third was the wedding at Cana, where Jesus performs his first miracle, turning the water into wine. And then in 1955, Pope Pius XII, I think, decided to separate those out. Epiphany became the Sunday after January 6th, right? So it moves around now. And it still celebrates the coming of the Magi. And then the next Sunday is the baptism of the Lord. And then on the third Sunday, the following Sunday, we celebrate Jesus's first miracle. All right? So what we all used to celebrate on Epiphany now has become 3 separate Sundays. I know you all wanted to know that, right? But just a little history lesson, you know, sometimes we get confused when things about our faith change, right? We don't understand. Things should always stay the same, shouldn't they? But they do change, and they change for good reason. Now we get to separate and talk about each of these 3 very important events on separate Sundays, and it's a good thing, right? It's a good thing when we have some changes, all right? So just to let you guys know where we're at. Now let's talk about the Gospel. There's one little confusing point of the Gospel, so I'll start my homily by interrupting myself. There's one little confusing point of the Gospel that sometimes catches people, and I want to clear that up right now. You notice when Mary looks at Jesus and says, "They have no wine," he looks at her and says, "Woman?" Now, I don't know about you, but if I had looked at my mother and said, "Woman," she'd have slapped me. But that's not what he means at all. This is a very important use of that word. Because woman, Hebrew, Isha, is what Adam called Eve in the garden before the fall. Up until the fall, the sin of man, Adam was called man, Ish. The woman was called Isha, woman. It wasn't until after they sinned that they took the names Adam and Eve. Isn't that interesting? So when Jesus looks at Mary and he says to her, "Woman," he is announcing to the world that she is the new Eve. St. John the Divine elaborates on that in the book of Revelation when he refers to her as the woman who is clothed with the sun. Justin Martyr makes it even clearer when he's writing in the second century about Mary being the new Eve. Just as St. Paul tells us, Christ is the new Adam, Mary is the new Eve. And so that's the point Jesus is making here when he looks at his mother and calls her woman, Isha, the new Eve. It's delightful. It just puts a whole new picture on that, doesn't it? It's wonderful. But I want to talk about one thing about this gospel reading. You know, in the scripture, God gives us principles to live by. And you can tell because there are things that repeat over and over again in the scripture. And in this lesson from the gospel, we see a pattern. And we see this pattern again and again throughout the scriptures. And now when Mary talks about the they're out of wine, and Jesus calls the servants and he says, go and fill the water jars. And so they went and did it. And then after they had filled the jars with water, Jesus says, now take some and take it to the head waiter, the head master of the feast. And suddenly it was wine. So the principle here is this. First, we hear God's voice. First, we hear what God is calling us to do. And then second, we have to do it. We have to act on what we hear God telling us, and then we see the miracles happen. See, so often we want to see the miracles without having to do anything, right? But that's not the way it works. First, we hear God. Then we have to act on it. And then the miracles happen. Now, throughout the scriptures, starting back to Noah. God says to Noah, build a big boat and put all your animals in it. All right? So Noah did. And when the floods came, they were all saved. Moses, God says to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses did. And then the miracle happened. God says to David, go stand up to Goliath. And David did. And then the miracles happened. God says to Jehoshaphat, I know you're outnumbered 5-1, but leave the comfort of your city. Go out and march and face the army, but make sure you put the choir in front singing. And so Jehoshaphat did. And then the miracles happened. Jesus says to the blind beggar, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did. And then the miracle happened. And here, Jesus says to the servants, he says, go fill the water jugs. And they did. And then the miracle happened. God always speaks to us first, and we have to act if we want to see that miracle happen. Now, how often do you have that little nudge from the Holy Spirit? You know, call someone. It might be lonely. Or go visit someone. Or perhaps invite your neighbor to church. Right? I haven't seen them go to church in a long time. Just go out and invite your neighbor. Or perhaps to give to a certain cause. Or maybe to read a certain book. Maybe one of the writings of the saints. But then you don't do it. And nothing happens. And you wonder, how come God's not doing anything in my life? And why don't you do it? Well, we always have our excuses, don't we? Oh, it's probably not God talking to me. It's just indigestion. Oh, you know, it's too hard. You know, or we think, oh, it might be embarrassing. We have all of these excuses, don't we? That we, when we feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit, that we so easily talk ourselves out of it. I'm reading a book. I haven't finished it yet. And it's kind of an interesting book. It's called The 5-Second Rule. And it's about a woman who couldn't force herself to get out of bed in the morning. She just couldn't motivate herself to get out of bed in the morning. She decided she would create this new rule for herself. She'd count backwards from 5. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get up. And that's how she had to, for years, that's the only way she could get herself out of bed in the morning, was to force herself. We find everything so hard in life. And it's a busy life, I understand. But God gives us that nudge. And we have to act. We have to move on it. We have to press forward and do it. And I don't know, we can think, well, it's not really God, but how do you know? Unless you act on it. And we can think, well, it's too hard. Well, I assure you, if it was easy, God wouldn't have to tell you, because you always do what's easy. Oh, but it might be embarrassing. I assure you, God has no interest in your pride. We come up with these excuses and we hold back, and then we don't see the miracles in our lives. And I'm going to guess that some of you out there today need a miracle in your life. Perhaps you're just discouraged and you need to feel like this life is worthwhile. Perhaps you're lonely and you need to feel like you connect with someone. When you feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit to call someone, to reach out, to give, to serve, to volunteer, when you feel that nudge, do it. Do it. And then you see the miracles happen, and life is suddenly brighter.